This is the Mosaic Church Podcast. Mosaic Church is committed to making disciples that discover Christ, connect in Christian community, and serve others and the world.
Lord Jesus, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for this church, Lord. I thank you for just your goodness and your mercy, Father God. Thank you for bringing me here, I think 15 years ago, Father, and I just, every single person that has been a part of that journey, Lord, I'm just so grateful that they decided to follow you and to just love me and accept me as a, you know, just a young guy from Miami who had no idea what he was doing in Tallahassee, Father. Lord, today, I just pray that your will be done, Lord Jesus, that it may be your Holy Spirit that is speaking through me, Father God. Lord, forgive me for the moments that I try to make it about myself, Lord, but it may be about you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we love you. We thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. So I kind of cheated a little bit because at the school where I work, we have chapel once a month, and they asked me, they asked me this past month to share. So I'm kind of going off of that, which is good. I think God had it ready to go since this was, you know, so I could be ready for today. But I had like a 5-minute window there. It's not going to be 5 minutes here. I'm sorry. Although the students are like, yeah, keep going. Then we don't have to go to class. I have a feeling it'll be a little different. Be like, finish, we got to go to lunch. But if I had to give this a title, I would call it Kingdom Diversity. And, you know, part of where this message came from was this is the month of February. And not part, this is where it came from. This is the month of February. And, you know, as a nation, we celebrate Black History Month. And I think it's very important that as believers and followers in Christ that we do celebrate Black History Month. I think the main reason is that, you know, we live in a time and in a nation where our brothers and sisters of color in Christ were not always treated like they were made in the image of God. And, you know, there's this psychiatrist that I talk about her a lot, Dr. Diane Lamberg. And when she talks about trauma, she says that when someone experiences trauma, it directly begins to affect how they view themselves. And it begins to attack this idea that they are made in the image of God, right? Because how could they be made in the, there's this concept of how can I be made in the image of God if these bad things are happening to me, if I've been treated less than human. So I think as believers and followers, it allows us to begin to speak life and to begin to, maybe there are some people in our lives that need to be reminded that they are worthy because they're made in the image of God. I think Black History Month gives us a unique opportunity to speak to that. So Kingdom Diversity. You know, at Mosaic Church, one of our core values is diversity. You know, I think like 2 summers ago, we did a sermon series on core values. We took turns doing that. And then, you know, one of the things that we read about with like mission and vision is that a lot of times we forget mission and vision, right? So you don't have to be a CFO, but you have to be a CRO, Chief Reminding Officer, right? A lot of times we have to remind ourselves of what our mission and vision is, what our core values are. And I think today is going to be a good opportunity to just remind all of us just what's at the core of Mosaic Church. So when I think of Kingdom Diversity, you know, we a lot of times as Christians, maybe we came to faith because, you know, people say they wanted fire insurance, or maybe because people just wanted heaven, right? Maybe because we talk about heaven and we talk about the streets paved of gold and all these other things. And there's a lot of things that we know about heaven. There's also a lot of things we don't know about heaven, right? People, you know, the question always comes up, like, will there be marriage in heaven and all this stuff? But I think we do have some very clear things that we do know about heaven. And that's where I'm gonna start. So if we go to Revelations chapter 7, I'm just going to read verse 9 through 10. And this is, again, a core scripture of why we even have the name Mosaic Church, right? Because in a mosaic, you have all these different pieces, different sizes, different colors, lots of different edges. Some are sharp, some are dull, right? But they all come together to make something beautiful. So in Revelations chapter 7, verse 9, This part is entitled The Great Multitude in White Robes. It says, after this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Amen. So we get a beautiful glimpse of heaven here in the book of Revelations, right? So what do we know about heaven from these two verses? There's going to be a multitude of people. And if we go back, right, you go to the book of Genesis, you know, it talks about how, you know, the grains of sand and the stars in the sky. So there's going to be tons and tons of people in heaven. And I think that would have been enough. I think we could have stopped there, and I think it still would have driven home the point that it's going to be an awesome party, you know, essentially, you and your brothers and sisters just hanging out. But there's an emphasis here that could have easily been left out, but it wasn't. When it says, a multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language. Every nation, tribe, people, and language. So we know a lot of things aren't going to be in heaven, right? We're not going to have, you know, our brokenness, whether it's spiritual or physical. There's going to be healing. We're going to have new bodies. There's a lot of things that that is not coming with us to heaven. But I find it interesting that every tribe, nation, people, and tongue. So that means that all of that is coming with us to heaven, right? The different languages that we speak, the different people groups that we are a part of, our cultural identities, right? I like to think that maybe there's going to be a group of Puerto Ricans with our panderetas, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, that stuff is coming with us. And I think that's super important because a lot of times it's easy to say that, you know, our cultural identity isn't going to matter in eternity, or our race isn't going to matter in eternity. But that's not what the book of Revelation says, right? The Lord says there's going to be this beautiful multitude of people from every different walk of life. People that are rich, people that are poor, people that speak five languages, people that, you know, that maybe they were doctors, maybe they were teachers, you know, all these different backgrounds coming together and united in their worship and adoration of our one true Savior. So the reason I titled this Kingdom Diversity is because I think that also gives us a unique responsibility. Because when we seek diversity, right, we do it because it's a privilege and an honor to worship with brothers and sisters from all different walks of life. And when we seek diversity, it gives us an opportunity to experience the kingdom of heaven here and now. And I think a lot of times for me that I glossed over that so much, right? When we look at Matthew 6 and it says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. A lot of times when we're talking about heaven or we're sharing the gospel, we share it as if like, just hold on because the promise is coming, right? The peace is coming. The salvation is coming. The perfection is coming. But what we see in Matthew 6 is that it's the opposite, right? That it's actually here and now as well. And I think it's important for us to not miss out on that, because think about the freedom and the joy and the peace that we can walk in if we live in the truth that the kingdom of heaven is something that we are looking forward to, but it's also something that we can still experience here. That changes everything, or it should change everything, right? We're talking about this with some middle schoolers, right? What we believe in should change the way that we act. So how different would our life look if we believed that we could experience heaven here and now? So I think there's a couple ways that we can work towards kingdom diversity. We can work towards experiencing heaven here and now. We can work towards people seeing heaven here and now. It's one thing to share the gospel with somebody It's another thing to share the gospel with somebody and live it in a way that they can see it and live it in a way that that's something they want to be a part of, right? If someone said you could be a part of heaven right now, I would hope that we would be running to that, okay? So how do we work towards kingdom diversity? I got 3 points that I want to touch upon. Point number 1, it starts with repentance, right? A lot of things start with repentance. Specifically, we repent of the sin of partiality. We repent of the sin of partiality. So in James 2, James is talking about this. He's talking about the sin of partiality. And he's talking to these believers who are, partiality is giving people special treatment, right? For whatever reason. In this case, he is talking about people giving special treatment because of wealth, right? So someone comes through the doors. He says they're wearing, you know, gold chains and necklaces, and I would say they're probably from Miami. I can make that joke, right? It's funny. So they're coming in with their gold, and clearly they're someone of status or someone of money, someone of power, and they're saying, you are giving that person preferential treatment over the beggar that's coming through the door. You're giving that person the seat at the front, and the beggar, you're saying, you can have a seat by my feet. Right, and he's calling out the Christians in this time, and he's saying, you know, we need to repent of the sin of partiality. And I think this starts with honest self-examination. There's a pastor, his name is Pastor Rich Villodas. He says, the goal of self-examination is freedom. Freedom from destructive thought patterns, inner messages, and the ways we wrongly perceive things. Freedom from destructive thought patterns, inner messages, and the way we wrongly perceive things, right? Few things are more destructive than the sin of partiality. When you're looking at somebody and you're treating them as less than for whatever reason, right? When we start putting people in different boxes and causing separation, we're gonna see a lot of pain and a lot of hurt because it becomes us versus them. We are the righteous, they are not. Right, for whatever reason, you know, pick anything that you can think of. But I think this starts with honest self-examination. And for some reason, the sin of partiality was one of the things that was most difficult for me to be honest with myself about. I could be very honest with pride in my life. I could be very honest with the sin of lust in my life. I could be very honest with the sin of laziness. There's a lot of other sins that I had no problem confessing and sharing with people, but when it comes to the sin of partiality, right, that's one that for some reason I didn't want to completely confess. I didn't want to completely bring it to the light, right? When I'm talking about partiality, right, partiality, well, again, we're talking about it could be with money or racism, right, is a form of partiality, okay? And for some reason, that's the hardest one for me to really be honest about. But as I was examining myself and I was examining how I grew up, remember the last time I spoke, I talked about the book Emotionally Healthy Spirituality by Pete Scazzaro. He challenges you to go back into your childhood. What are some things, right? What are some things that, you know, are a part of your faith, but when you look in scripture, they're actually not a part of it, right? One of the big things was, and I've shared this with some of you, and I've never said this like this because I just want to make sure that I'm honoring my family, but I think this is a really good example. So when it talks about in scripture, right, when it says, you know, do not be unequally yoked, okay, it is very common in Puerto Rican culture that that meant you did not marry outside of Puerto Rican culture. So think about that for a second. I'm hearing this probably as a middle schooler when you know, I'm starting to have more interest in like dating and stuff. And I'm thinking to myself like, okay, so what does that mean? Like all of a sudden there's this whole group of people that I shouldn't even be considering as a possible spouse because they're not in this cultural context. All right, spoiler alert, Melise is not Puerto Rican. And you know, I understand where my parents were coming from. I think for them, it was really this idea of like, when you have those cultural similarities, it does make it a lot easier, right, to come together. But there needs to be something that supersedes that, right? It wasn't like you can't marry someone who's not a Christian, right? It was like you can't, or not a believer, right? You can't marry someone who's not Puerto Rican. So that's a very distorted, it might have had good intentions, right? But now I'm starting, you know, as a 12-year-old, I'm processing these things. Okay, does that mean that other people are less than? You know, if you're familiar with Hispanic culture, Puerto Ricans and Cubans, they have beef, right? You stole our flag. No, we got the flag first. And you begin to create this tension of like, who's better than the other? We invented salsa music. No, we invented salsa music. These all sound funny because it's all very true arguments that I remember having this argument with my friend's mom. Imagine me as a punk kid at age 15 arguing with this awesome, lovely lady about who invented salsa, all right? And there's just like this constant, you know, and before you know it, you start viewing people as less than. But I didn't know that. I didn't realize this, that what those seeds that took root in my heart, I didn't realize what the fruit was going to be. Right? There is going to be fruit. It's just, what's it going to be? So I think this was the hardest one for me, to be honest with myself, right? Like, what are the things, growing up, what were the cultural things? What were the things that, the jokes that were said behind closed doors? What were the things that I began to believe, either because of what I saw on TV or listening to music, whatever it might be, but what are those things that I need to bring to light, bring it to the feet of Jesus and repent? And I think that's something that we constantly need to do. So step number one is to repent of the sin of partiality. And I think the only way we can truly do this, again, is by bringing it to the Lord and say, God, like, create in me a new heart. Like, what is in my heart that I don't see that is preventing me from loving my brothers and sisters, all of them, wherever they are, whatever background, whatever differences we might have? I think once we're able to repent of the sin of partiality, step number two is that we unite, but we unite because of the gospel, right? And I love, it's been a lot, I've been saying this a lot lately, just talking about the church in Acts 2. In Acts 2, right, it talks about all these believers coming together, right? They're coming together in one heart, one mind. They are breaking bread. They are like, you know, talking scripture. They're sharing vulnerabilities. They're doing all these beautiful things. And I believe that it starts with them being united because of the gospel truth, right? That says, all have sinned, right? All have sinned. All have fallen short, right? That Jesus died for every single person, right? Not just the Puerto Ricans and so on and so forth. But when we allow that to be the anchoring truth, right, we begin to tear down all these walls that have just been created. Maybe we created them on our own. Maybe they've been created socially. But if we cannot allow the gospel to just supersede everything else, then our gospel is too small. It's not the real gospel, right? Because the gospel of Jesus says that all have sinned, right? That we can all come to Christ through Jesus and what he did on the cross. So we unite because of the gospel. And I want to read this quote. It's a little long. So it's by Martin Luther King Jr. He says, "I am convinced that men hate each other because they fear each other. They fear each other because they don't know each other. And they don't know each other because they don't communicate with each other. And they don't communicate with each other because they are separated from each other." Now, so he's speaking to a very real time in history where there was physical separation through segregation, right? But I would argue that there's still a lot of physical separation, right? Look at our community. Look at how different neighborhoods and different places. Think about different social groups that we have created, right? Whether it's political parties or socioeconomic status. We have created so many different ways to separate us. We've become very, very good at it, much to our own detriment as believers. But luckily, the gospel speaks to that, right? The gospel looks at all those divisions that we've created, and the gospel says that that is no more, right? Because we are united in Jesus and what he did on the cross. So in a time where people are constantly being separated, the gospel needs to be what unites us all above everything else. I can look at this room and I can probably come up with 100 reasons why each of us shouldn't be in this room together, why we shouldn't get along, why we should be different, the reasons why we're different. But it doesn't matter because I have one reason why we're all brothers and sisters. That's because of what Jesus did on the cross. The third thing, so we repent of the sin of partiality, right? That takes that self-examination in front of the Lord. We unite because of the gospel. And now that we're united, we seek community. Now, when we seek community, we seek a community that allows our brothers and sisters to be themselves. From my own personal story, 2009, I came to FSU, and I hadn't really thought of all of this completely until Pastor Brian Ames just asked a simple question, and I thank you for that, Pastor, because it helped me just really just self-examine and realize something new about myself. Again, we had no reason to be talking, right, except that we're united through Christ. So I came in 2009. Growing up, my family was like, again, as you've noticed, super Puerto Rican. We had like Puerto Rican wallets. We had like the flags everywhere, Puerto Rican jerseys. Like we were at all the Puerto Rican parades. It was great. Although at the time I didn't like it. I didn't really care for it. It wasn't until I came to Tallahassee where I was, for the first time in my life, a minority, that I was like, oh my gosh, like this is, you know, people aren't speaking Spanish. I can't go to the corner and buy a croqueta. Like what's, you know, I can't listen to Spanish music on the radio. Like what's going on? And for the first time, I kind of had a cultural identity crisis. And I found myself wanting to grasp onto my Puerto Rican culture more than ever before. I wanted to speak Spanish more than ever before. I thought I was always annoyed at my mom for being like, tú eres Rodríguez, tienes que hablar español. I was like, oh, fine, mom, I'll speak Spanish. Right, but for the first time in my life, I felt this like desire in me to really embrace my culture more than ever before. And I have to say thank you to Mosaic Church because you allowed me that. You allowed me to be my full, obnoxious, loud Puerto Rican self. You celebrated it, right? I could come to church and I don't need to feel judged. So again, growing up, our church was a salsa church. So you had like three trumpets, three trombones, two keyboards, drummers. Like it was like an 18-piece band. So you're really not, during worship, you're not standing there. It's just like physically impossible. So I grew up and we're dancing and we're moving. And when I was really young, we had the big flags come out and stuff, right? So it was very different than when I came here to Mosaic. But I'm thankful because this space that was created here, right, because at the core is that diversity, you allowed me to express that anyways. Even though maybe that's not what some of you are used to, and that's fine, I never felt judged because I was up front singing and dancing and clapping or on my knees or whatever it might be, but instead you created a space where we're united in the gospel of Christ, and because of that, that kingdom diversity is able to flourish and grow here. So thank you to everyone who's allowed me to be my Puerto Rican self. And I think what's really cool when we look at Acts 2 and we see this community, people of all different backgrounds coming together, it says that, I'm gonna paraphrase, so forgive me, it says that numbers were added to them. And I think that's so powerful because, you know, I think it's a byproduct of allowing the gospel to really permeate your life in a way that you're living it, right? A lot of people can speak and share the gospel. Not everybody lives the gospel. And when we look at Acts 2, these are people that were sharing the gospel, but they were living it in a way that anything that separated them was gone, to the point where it says they were giving up everything they had to meet the needs of every single person. It didn't matter what background you were from. It didn't matter if you had a lot or a little. Everybody came together because of what Jesus did on the cross. And what's a byproduct of that? People saw that and they said, I want to be a part of that. There's something special that is happening there. And that's why at Mosaic Church, we strive to live out this kingdom diversity, where you can come through those doors as you are. We can be united by what Jesus has done and continues to do, because we're all broken vessels, where your experiences, where the things that God has brought you through, we don't ask you to leave it at the door, but you bring it in, and sometimes you share it, and sometimes that brings you to a place of worship. Sometimes it brings you to a place of openness and maybe hurt, but we bring you in, and because of the gospel truth, we can experience that kingdom diversity. And not only that, I can't say this enough, we get to experience heaven here and now. And we talk about heaven and we sell heaven like it's the most amazing thing, and it is. But brothers and sisters, we don't have to wait. We can experience it here and now. So I want to end with a picture. This picture, I don't know how well you can see it, so I'll try and explain it to you. You can see it pretty good. There's definitely some, yeah, you can see it. All right, I think you can. You can at least see Neil's mustache, man. That is awesome. So if you look at this picture, you know, I think a lot of times we take it for granted, but this was a men's camping trip last weekend, okay? I don't know who, I don't remember, I think Micah took this picture. There is no reason for all of these guys to decide to go camping. I don't like camping. I don't. Listen, I brought my air mattress. We had a tent heater. I kept this kind of secret, a little bit of shame. I brought my own Nespresso coffee maker. It was in the tent. I think Mason walked in. He was like, oh my goodness, it's a cafe in here. We had like jazz music playing and it smelled like freshly brewed coffee. I don't like camping. But man, I love Jesus and I love my brothers in Christ. And it was such a privilege, because there is no reason for all of us to be together. There's no reason. And you know, I invited my brother, Jonathan, shout out. I think he's listening on YouTube. Love you, bro. I invited him and he flew all the way from Texas. He hung out with us. Perks of being retired and then now working from home. You earned it. You know, we were talking on the way back, and he was like, because he couldn't believe. He goes, you're looking. He goes, I just couldn't believe how accepting and vulnerable and open and loving everyone was. And he goes, and I'm sitting. He ended up in a prayer group, and it was him, Bryce, Ruben, and Bob Kane. What an eclectic group of people. But man, he was so blessed by that. You know, in here, you have so many years of experience, so many years of following Jesus. We had somebody celebrate their, I think it was Neil turning 60 or 50? I can't remember. 50? We had somebody celebrating their 50th birthday. Bryce celebrate his 32nd birthday. Like, think about that. In one weekend, we celebrated Mario. Mario wasn't with us, but he was celebrating his 60th birthday. We have people that have experienced the mountains of life, the deepest valleys of life. We have people that are philosophers. We have people that are musicians. We have people that work in education. Like, there is no reason why this group of people should be there. And we laughed and we cried and we prayed and we worshiped. It was awesome. And in that moment, like, guys that were there, if we take a step back, and those of you that are here now, if we're taking a look at this picture, this is a glimpse of heaven. All right, are we going to be around a campfire? I don't know. I'm not going to get into that much. You know, you could talk to Adam about that. He's got more, you know, theology and all those things. But when he talks about people from every tribe, every nation, every tongue coming together for one reason, because we are saved by Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. That is a glimpse of heaven. And I was so blessed because, you know, my brother's coming and he's kind of like an outsider. I'm sure I didn't talk about this with him. I'm sure he was nervous. You know, how's it going to be coming in, this and that. But it was just like another family member just joined us. And it was so beautiful, and I'm forever thankful for that. So I love this picture, because this weekend, we got to experience heaven. That's the truth. And on Sundays, when we're here, we get to experience heaven. And when we invite people to church, when we invite people camping, we're not just inviting them to a good time, we're inviting them to experience heaven. And I think that as we repent, as we unite, and as we seek community, right, a community that allows people to be who they are, to bring their questions, to live the gospel, that brings healing. I know there's been healing that I've needed and that I still need in my life that I have found in this church community, and there's people that need that healing. It brings unity, it brings peace, it brings power, it speaks life. And I think more than anything, it brings people to Jesus, which is the most important thing. So we repent, we unite, and we seek community. Lord, I thank you so much for Mosaic Church, Father God. I thank you for just what it's meant to me, Lord Jesus. I thank you that this kingdom diversity was at the onset of Mosaic Church, as you know, the original founders, or whatever you want to call it, the original planning team. They were thinking about what this church would look like in Tallahassee, and I'm so thankful that at the center of it, obviously, was you, Lord Jesus, but also this heart for kingdom diversity, this opportunity to come to church on a Wednesday night or a Sunday night or whenever we can, Lord, to experience heaven here and now, Father God. I thank you for my brothers and sisters, Lord Jesus, from every different walk of life, Lord. I thank you for just the richness that they bring to our faith, to our community, as they bring different perspectives, as they bring different languages. We've had people on this stage speak so many different languages. We've worshiped in different languages, Lord. And what a privilege it is, Father God, to experience heaven, Lord Jesus. I pray that as we go into different areas of our life, Father God, as we take time to examine our own hearts, Lord Jesus, as we bring it to your feet, Father God, that we may just be 100% open and honest and vulnerable with you, Lord, and that you may bring those things that we need to nail to the cross, Father God. That sin of partiality, Lord, that just causes so much division, Father God, that it may be wiped away by the truth of the gospel, Lord. That your blood on the cross, Father God, may unite us more than anything else, Lord Jesus. Unite us, Father God, in a community, Lord, that just seeks to worship you and honor you and love you in the way that we love our brothers and sisters, Lord. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for your gospel that is alive. Thank you for your kingdom that is here and now. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for the kingdom that we'll get to experience in eternity, Lord. In your holy name we pray, amen.
We want to thank you for listening. We pray that you were blessed and encouraged. If you like what you heard today, subscribe to this podcast and listen whenever you like. To find out more about Mosaic Church, please visit www.mosaicchurchtlh.com.